Do you like wrestling trivia? Then check out the 5-Star Match Game, the pro wrestling quiz show. I'm Joe Gagne, and every episode, I grill 3 contestants with 5 rounds of power-packed wrestling trivia. We have over 30 evergreen episodes in the archives covering WWE, AEW, Japan, Mexico, and much, 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 much more. Play along at home and check it out today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Super J-Cast. I'm Joel, joined by Damon McDonald. It is Wednesday, the 8th of January, 2025. This is episode 344. Hello, Damon.
Hi, everyone. Oh, boy, are we fired up this week, right? What a week. If you were in on the live stream from the You and the Tube, you would have heard a lovely beginning of a story of Joel... Just getting life sucked out of him on a class trip to the bright city of London. How many kids were there?
It's about 50.
Oh, God. Good Lord. Any chaperones, or is it just the teachers?
We had two parent chaperones.
Okay. All right. That's better. But again, they're leaving 8 o'clock. I'm giving them the fast forward. Sorry. Leaving London, going home, stop at a little rest area station thing. They go to pull out, and the bus driver backs into a fucking tree and breaks a window. Ruined his night. Joel was just like, oh, I could hear him from here. I thought I heard something at night, just a gruntle sigh, and it was you. I heard you.
Yes, it was me. Oh, it was I.
What a nightmare. Speaking of nightmares. Boy, do we have a show for you. It's never easy. Why is it never easy after Wrestle Kingdom? Why can't it just...
It's great. It's fantastic. I've got a long laundry list of stuff to talk about, and very little of it is actually stuff that took place in the ring.
Right.
Either night, the fucking 10 hours of wrestling that took place.
Right. Ah, yeah, I thought we were done. I thought it was just going to be like a little simple wrap things up. And away we go, and on to new beginning, and blah, 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 blah. Nope. So, where?
Apparently, yeah. I'm dropping frames. It says it keeps buffering. I'm going to try to move to a different room.
Okay.
And see if that helps. So if you bear with me, Damon, and you just talk about stuff, I'm going to move somewhere else.
Well, I'll just go on and say, what a week it was, kids. What a week it was when you're the number one New Japan Pro Wrestling podcast on God's green earth. Because, boy, oh, boy, people like to talk. And people like to set records straight. And we do appreciate that, by the way. Needless to say, boy, the high school drama. The high school drama here in pro wrestling land. It never ends. It never fucking ends. Well, here we are. So it's going to be a show where we might jump around timeline-wise, right? We might jump around a little bit, so we'll do our best to make it a smooth ride for those setting sail with us. But know that we had to do a decent job, I will say this, and I think we have so far, of kind of deciphering the, okay, this is agenda-based commentary, and pardon the pun, and this is just the facts. So again, I think we do a good job of that, kind of wading our way through, because again, this is pro wrestling and it feels like a lot of people have agendas, not necessarily people we talk to, but again, you got to be cautious of it. But wow, what a world we live in. What a world we live in, kids.
So, people in the chat, if it's any better now, please let me know. I've moved to a different room. It may just be my location. But yes, we had a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah.
What we're not going to do here is go match by match.
Oh, God.
We've done that. Yeah. So if you want to listen to our in-depth match by match review and analysis and breakdown of Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty, get your fucking wallet out, because you're going to have to pay, right? It's all on Patreon.
It is.
I think I'm selling the files individually if you just want access to that, or you can jump in on the $10 feed and you'll get access to all of that. You'll get access to live streams. You'll get access to instant reactions and whatever else comes out of our diseased brains.
Yeah.
But what you're not going to get today is match by match reviews, because that's already in the can for people who have put their fucking money where their mouth is.
Wow.
As our favorite man likes to say.
Yeah. And quite honestly, I feel like it's all been said. Right, from a match quality perspective and what we thought was great. And I mean, listen, doesn't take a brain surgeon to figure out what we liked and what we didn't like. But I think that's I'd like to do that. Like, the reward to people who are willing to sacrifice a couple bucks a month. Look at that. That's not to say that this podcast ain't going to have its nice juiciness to it. don't get me wrong. Don't be led astray just because you don't hear what we thought about, you know, David Finlay versus Yoda Tsuji. Don't feel bad, because we're in for a nice little ride here today.
All right. Well, we have so much to talk about, Damon. We got overall thoughts on Wrestle Kingdom and Dynasty. We got Gabe Kidd. We got Shota Umino. We got Chris Charlton to talk about, the AEW relationship, the Elite, Konosuke Takeshita, New Year Dash, New Beginning, Battle in the Valley, contract season, and so much more. There's an obscene amount of stuff to talk about. And quite honestly, if I open this up by saying, right, let's discuss the New Japan Rambo from January 4th, then I think everyone would probably kill themselves. Right. So we're not going to do that. Instead, let me just go to you, Damon, and ask, what are your overall thoughts? Now you've had a few days to ruminate on it. Your overall thoughts on the weekend of Wrestle Kingdom and Wrestle Dynasty?
I think
the headlines.
Yeah, I think overall it was from an in-ring product perspective, I was pretty happy, actually. And again, we all know the shortcomings that a lot of people are feeling and have felt when it comes to the main event. I've had a lot of different opinions come my way, as a matter of fact, about the main event, Zach versus Shota. And you know, I had people talking to me about, you know, if you watch Zach, he does a lot more chattering in the ring than they ever remember him doing. And I don't know if that's him kind of coaching Shota along or and they did make mention that, you know, the frustration that they saw during that match from Zach. So I thought that was an interesting perspective. Absolutely. I still think he's not ready, right? I don't think there's anything that somebody's going to point to me in that match specifically and say that the dude's ready. He's just not. And that's what it is. They took a chance. They rolled the dice. They said, this is the guy. They went with it. Okay. Now, there are some in the company that felt pretty okay with it, right? Not like cartwheels maybe, but like they were okay with it. And whether that's sticking their fingers in their ears and la-la-laing all the way and we're just going to go this course, maybe. But there were some that were, you know, not concerned. There were others that were, that we talked to over the week, that were kind of, you know, like, that's not going to work. Once again, it's a work in progress, I think. And that's not to say that it's completely dead on him. But I think for right now, I think the general consensus is maybe not here and now for Shota. But I think overall, both shows had lots of pluses. There were minuses, but I don't think many and glaring and things that would make me turn off the stream, right? Nothing like that. Were there things that I think that would have been done differently? Of course, yes. But I think overall, I'm sticking with the original grades that I gave. I think I gave Wrestle Kingdom a 7 out of 10, and I think I gave Wrestle Dynasty, what did I say, 5 out of 10 or 6 out of 10, somewhere in that range.
That's really interesting because I've seen a lot of people, what I've noticed as a trend is people who are more sort of Amores-pilled are saying that Wrestle Dynasty was the better show, and the people who are more the Puro defenders are saying that January 4th was their favorite show. But again, I don't really see the point in sort of splitting them like that and picking a side. There were great matches on both and there were shit matches on both. So I think the bigger question to talk about here is how are you feeling about New Japan's trajectory for 2025? So Mac19 says, after this weekend, I feel the company's bag and track and poised for a big 2025. Are we finally over the hump? And Troy says, post Wrestle Kingdom, Wrestle Dynasty, New Year Dash, where are you in the spectrum of we are so back and it's so over for New Japan?
I think I'm pretty happy with where we're going. I did have people who, you know, kind of popped in on this, on these shows and were somewhat questioning the idea of Hirooki Goto going for a title again and losing.
Who said anything about losing? We'll come on to that.
Good point. Okay. All right. Listen, I hear you. Listen, maybe chance 416 is the charm. That being said, you have to question, have you watched any of his recent stuff? And when I mean recent, I mean, you can go back to G1. And of course not. But, it's just the idea of freshness and blah, blah, blah. To me, I'm okay. I'm totally fine with it. I like the secondary titles and what's being lined up there. There's not much that I'm like, ugh, I can't believe they're going to go that route. Not really. I mean, of course, Tana's going to do his retirement tour and do things that, you know, might not be spectacular in the sense of, you know, dream opponent yet, right? He's going to hit a couple bucket list things that he wants to hit. I mean, that's about the only thing where I'm just kind of like, okay, that is what it is. But everything else, I mean, tag titles, people are like, oh, they can't put up with the fucking Bucks. I don't necessarily have a problem with it. I know we talked about it last week, and you know, you might not need to listen to our show because we'll probably just touch on points that we talked about before. But we were talking in the sense of, you know, it's the tag titles. I hate to say it, but I don't think they heat them up and they call them off, and they heat them up and they call them off. And I can definitely see this being a situation where, you know, the belts go away for a while and you don't really see them, and that's that. Now, that's not to say that New Japan hasn't done everything in its power to make Nicholas and Matthew as welcome and as comfortable as possible. Let's put it that way. to the tune of what appear to be a nice family get-together at a luxury hotel. So, look. It's
you think they're paying for that themselves, Damon?
Who knows? Who knows? Who knows how much they had to contribute to that? But again, from what we understand,
nothing. They contributed nothing.
The red carpet has been rolled out for not only Young Bucks but for Kenny as well. So, I think. While people sour on their relationship for a bunch of reasons, I'm sure we'll get into some of them here today. I do like the fact that at the very least, they make a conscious and a strong effort to make sure that they feel appreciated, which I think anyone would appreciate. Now, in the same breath, I'll say, just make sure that you're also taking care of your staff and your employees and the people who have been there a long time, because that's not a good look when some people get preferential treatment and others may not. I'm not saying that happened in this case. I'm saying the optics of it. So you're
referring to Chase Owens being in Tokyo at the time, not even getting booked for the Rambo.
Well, correct me if I'm wrong. He wasn't allowed in the building. That's who Kenny Omega was talking about, right?
Oh, yeah. That was Kenny's special friend. Right. He's barred entry.
Imagine that.
I love my headcanon. Chase Owens flying himself out there, being like, right, guys, I'm here. I'm ready to go. I'll pay for my own ticket.
Yeah.
Am I in the Rambo? Sorry, we've got nothing for you. It's totally for the...
shuffling papers, you know. I don't see it. There was that. So again, I didn't mind the tag titles because I think maybe that's greasing the wheel. Greasing, is that the word I'm looking for? It's just helping strengthen at least a surface level relationship. So, okay. I'm okay with that.
You've just taken out a big shotgun and just like blasted scattergun all over the topics today.
I know.
We will revisit each of those in more detail, dear listeners. So don't worry. But I would like to start with the person who I think should be the biggest story coming out of the weekend and the biggest stock rising from all the wrestlers who participated. And that is Gabe Kidd. By some distance, I think he is the guy who's coming out of this with just looking like the man. He's a made man. He looks like a star. He's on the cover of Shoe Pro magazine. And, you know, bear in mind, this was also a weekend where Zack Sabre Jr., there are a lot of first-time things there. You know, a guy who has won the IWGP Championship and taken it into Wrestle Kingdom and successfully defended it, being the first foreign wrestler to do that for God knows how many years. But the big story is his countryman, Gabe Kidd, who I think has really sort of struck a chord with fans all over the globe, not just Western fans, but the Japanese fans as well, because he really went into that match defending the honour of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and the fans are desperate to cheer him, and he just feels like a powder keg of babyface brilliance ready to explode. Just that moment where he took off the trousers and we saw the line mark on his tights, and if another moment sort of sticks in my mind from the match is when he counted the one winged angel into the Manji Gatame and the crowd just lost their minds. Just a really fantastic match. And he's coming out of there with so much star power and looking like the future of New Japan Pro Wrestling, way more than Shota Umino did, like the diametric opposite of that. So Henrique says, with the reaction for Gabe Kidd at the Dome, do you guys think he's set for a push as a top anti-hero style babyface? Yep. While a Steve Austin comparison might not be fair, his performance on Wrestle Dynasty was close to that level of electric. And Burning Hammer says, will Gabe join Hontai this year? So, I mean, we know in the short term, he has been paired up with Tsuji and he's going to be challenged for the Global Heavyweight Championship, which I think is a neat way of sort of keeping him away from the world title scene for now. But what do you think his year will look like, and what do you think they do with him? Because you can see that the fans love him at this point.
Yeah.
And I would be inclined not to mess with that. I think if he goes full babyface and joins Honta, then you're kind of messing with what has made him popular. Now, that being said, I don't think that staying as, David Finlay's lackey, for want of a better word, in the Bullet Club War Dogs is the right move either. So I think there's some quite interesting and very difficult decisions for New Japan to make in regards to what they do with Gabe Kidd this year. Because I mean, I really think he should be winning the G1. I want this guy main eventing the Tokyo Dome next year and for many years to come. But yeah, some choices for them to make.
It is. I would say, you know, I think, quite honestly, I think they've done a good job, the company-wise, has done a good job of, as weird as this sounds, staying out of his
You're
fucking way.
Out the room.
Oh, is that, are we getting a run-in?
I'm getting a run-in. Mally's telling me to go back to another room. I've moved in here, Mally, because the internet connection didn't seem very good.
Because of what?
The internet connection wasn't very good in the other room.
Because of what?
The internet connection was not good in there.
Okay.
She's wearing fucking headphones and listening to something whilst asking me questions. Unbelievable.
thank you very much.
All right. Where were
That's
we?
What you get for paying $10 to get run-ins from my darling wife.
Yeah. We need $10 a month so we can pay for locks. Locks on the door.
Yeah.
Get Joel new... Build Joel an addition. Gabe Kidd. Again, I like the fact that the company feels like has stayed out of its own way because it does have a little bit of a reputation of fucking things up when things are going good. And it feels like they've done a really decent job of staying out of his way. Now, there is a problem with that because if you let the lunatics run the asylum, you wind up in situations like AEW. and I don't think that's what a zinger there. I mean, everybody fucking knows what's going on there. That said, I mean, first of all, I think we got to tip our cap to Kenny Omega too. You know, it does take two of the tango, and Kenny does have a bit of a track record of being able to really get the most out of the people that are in the ring. So let's be fair and give Kenny his flowers as well, because I thought he did an outstanding job as well. A top tier outstanding job, let me say. But Gabe.
So it was such a great sort of contrast to each other, weren't they? Where Gabe Kidd comes out in his tracksuit, just looking like some street thug from Nottingham. And then Kenny Omega comes out looking like a boss from Final Fantasy. Right. And it was such a jarring contrast, but it just worked brilliantly, didn't it?
I'm glad you mentioned that because yes, exactly. Yes. Yeah. And here's the thing too. Like it felt like the crowd was a little bit subdued, a little sitting on their hands a little bit up until that point. And then Gabe just grabbed them by the balls and was like, let's go. This is what you're waiting for. They delivered. Look, I would have zero problem with a New Japan Cup win. I would have zero problems with a deep G1. If you want to give them the win, I got no problem with that as well. I think you ride the hot hand. I think you ride the hot hand. And I think that he's shown it throughout 2024 that he's a guy that, look, if you want excitement, if you want a guy that's going to get people juiced up, if you want people to, you know, have an interest in your promotion, like he's a guy that can help do that. So once again, keep him sizzling, keep him on the fire, keep him out of the heavyweight picture for now. But the year is long, you know, you got plenty of ways you can go. If you want to go feuding David Finlay style, you're there. If you want to give him the white belt, you're there. You want to, whatever, I don't think, like, where before I was under the, you know what? Yeah, tag belts, no problem. Him and Jake Lee, no problem. Is anybody saying Jake Lee's name now with him, with Gabe Kidd at this point? Nope. Again, ride the momentum, ride the wave, and let's see what the kid can do.
So like Jake Lee at home watching Wrestle Dynasty, his head is has fuck, I'm never going to get that tag run now.
Right, that went right down the turlet, if you will. Yeah, yeah, he's out. He's not never open weight land. He's not. He's risen to, you know, global. And listen, if you wanted to have him sniff at a world title, I might be getting out of control here. I might be crazy to even suggest, but you're not giving him the title now. But you could. You could. And I don't think it would be the most preposterous thing this company's ever done. So, again, ride the hot hand. That's my overarching thought.
I think you let him cook.
Yeah.
I think you keep him away from that until he's just the right place and the right time to roll with that narrative of him being the guy defending New Japan. And I just can't help but fantasy book in my mind, I don't know, someone like Takeshita, who we'll talk about later, holding the title and being like, look at me, AEW DDT guy, best man in the company, nobody can touch me, I've got your world title, none of you fucks can do anything about it. And then Gabe Kidd being the guy to be like, oi, no, I'm the representative of the Lion Mark here. I'm going to defend the honor of the company and do it for all the Shinnihon freaks. But yeah, it's plenty of really interesting directions they could go. And whatever they do with Gabe Kidd, he will make it work. So I've every faith in the company that they're going to make a lot of money with Gabe Kidd in the not too distant future.
Imagine waking up the next day. Imagine waking up the next day, Gabe Kidd. And like, I hope he took a moment just to sit on the side of his fucking bed with his hands in his head in his hands too, both, and just take a moment and be like, look at how far I've come. I can't stop thinking about that promo he cut in Philly. I can't. And where he is now. Like, that's the stuff, like, you know, people write documentaries over, you know? Like, I just want the best for the dude because, one, he's risen from that muck and mud and swamp of depression to, you know what, you're the buzz of the wrestling world. That's pretty cool. That's pretty good. So I hope with his close friends and his confidants and the people that he loves and who love him had a moment to be like, I know I got a lot more work to do, blah, 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 blah. But let me just take 5 seconds to be like, fuck yes. So good for you, dude. Good for you.
Let's talk about the person who I think was the biggest stock falling Wrestle Kingdom. You've touched on him already, Shota Umino. And this is quite a controversial one because there are quite a few people who loved the main event and thought he did really well. So Jersey Joe Gotch says, have New Japan fans lost the plot or what? Shota versus Zack was great. Has the video game wrestling of Kenny and Ospreay corrupted the constitution of fans that they can no longer tolerate a slower paced, more technical approach to an in-ring storytelling? And Amelia Bedele says, I also love the Wrestle Kingdom main event personally. So there are, it does seem to be a minority. I think the consensus seems to be that it was a disappointing match considering the spot, but there are people who really enjoyed it. And I can see that, which makes it a very tricky match to review and analyze because the work was good. Like technically was fine and it had some really good moments. But if we analyze it against the success criteria that we set out in our preview, which was to get Shota over basically to create an emotional connection between him and the crowd and get people frothing at the mouth for him to come back in that spot. Oh, we want him back next year to win the title and have his Kikuchi moment, overcome that heartbreak and finally ascend to the top of New Japan. It spectacularly failed in that. It did not achieve that. So whilst you might say from an in-ring standpoint, it was a good match, I'd say it was a deeply unsuccessful match and didn't do what it needed to do. And I think if you look at Zack Sabre Jr.'s face at the end of the match and the way he, his general demeanor afterwards, you can see that he was probably thinking, oh, fuck, we just went too long there.
Oh, they definitely went too long. I don't care what you thought of the match. I thought the match went too long. It absolutely did. Now, again, I think the Doki injury played, I mean, you would expect them to go at least 20 minutes, right? They're going 20. So they went 5, you know? So, you know, I'm sure they gave him a little bit of extra room to work the match in the main event. Yeah, I mean, on our preview shows, I think a lot of us were under the, if we were going to have a want list of that match, what you wanted to see was, okay, he might not win that title, but you want him to, people to get on board and people to, you know, pine for get his another shot, get another shot. And I don't know if that, I don't think that was successful. I don't think anybody is, and when I say anybody, I'm sure there are people sitting there, oh, what about me? Well, okay, I'm talking in general. I don't think it hit the mark. I don't think it did what it needed to do. But if you liked the match, I think it's awesome that you did. To me, when it comes to Wrestle Kingdom main events, I mean, that's the five-star restaurant, you know? That's the steak I want cooked to perfection. That's the fucking sides I want spectacular. I want everything. I want the salad to be the best because I'm, you know, that's the expectation. So when it doesn't deliver, yeah, you do kind of walk out of the restaurant and be like, I don't know, that was worth it. Again, I'm not saying it's over. I'm just saying not right now.
We have a lot of questions about Shota. So David says, what on earth is the plan with Shota? I enjoyed the main event. I thought it would lead to Dome development the next night. But for him to come out, do the same entrance and act like nothing happened is just bizarre. JD Summer says, 2023, Shota was the future and hottest player in the NJPW 2024. He became okay guy to mid. And 2025, not even a week, he became the worst player. Booed from Japan to world. What changes needed for Shota Umino from being a disaster to, again, the hottest player like Gabe Kidd? Swiper says, is this Joel's burner account? And there's a Reddit post here that says Okan should murder Shota and then devour his organs live on NJPW.
Wow.
And Mint says, how many chances does Shota get? We keep hearing that he is not ready and will get there eventually, but he has been back for nearly 3 years with no distinguishable upwards curve in the quality of his matches or character. His peaks and troughs are at the same point on the scale in 2024 as they were in 2022, and he's been lapped by all of his peers. Will says, is something interesting is going to happen with Shota? The new Krusty is coming. And Gig says, which would you rather experience? Another Shota at his current level Tokyo Dome main event or the heat death of the universe? So I'm in agreement. I mean, I went into this show with all optimism, hoping that he would put it all together and Zach was managed to be the perfect dance partner to elicit that special something that Will Ospreay had done before that would make Shota Umino look and feel like a superstar, but didn't do it. And I don't think he's got it. I don't think he's got that dog in him. For now, he might do in the future, and he will get more chances just by virtue of the fact that he's relatively young, he's good looking, he's a Nepo baby, and he's a dojo product. So they are going to try again with him, but I hope it's not for a while, and I hope it's for long enough for them to realize that they've got half a dozen other guys in the company who are more talented than him. So I think that's the silver lining here. I think it was definitely worthwhile doing. I'm glad that they did it. It was worth taking that risk, but now we can say, okay, you've had your turn, didn't work. Go off, you know, downcycle him and see what we got with some of the other people we've got in this generation who might do something with that ball if they are given it. They might take that ball and run with it, whereas Shota has fumbled it. And as far as I'm concerned, I said when we did our instant reaction, he's going to the back of the line for me.
Yeah. I will say this, though. 3 years is in pro wrestling really doesn't feel like for a career-wise, like that's a blip on a calendar. Now, 3 years in like watching a product, you know, and booking and all, that's an eternity. I get that. But like for a wrestler's career, it's actually relatively not a long time. And I will say this, and again, please don't take this as I'm comparing Shota to this individual. But, you know, back in WCW days, Steve Austin and Brian Pillman were a great tag team. And Steve Austin had a really cool U.S. title run and TV title, if I'm not mistaken. But no one on planet fucking Earth thought Steve Austin was going to be what he became, right? And again, there's plenty of other factors and lots of things and all, blah, 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 blah. I guess my point is this, is that right now we don't see it. Maybe 2 years, 3 years. I think the hardest thing for pro wrestlers, it's not the moves, it's not the timing, and it's not, that's not the hard part. The hard part is finding that within you that connects with the crowd to get them behind you. That's the hardest fucking thing in pro wrestling. And that's the difference between stars and non-stars. And yes, it does help that the company supports you. And yes, it does help that sometimes the company gets out of your way and lets you do be creative. And yes, it does help that you have, a multi-million dollar company behind that. I get it. But the general theme is that I don't think anyone thought that the Steve Austin there would be the Steve Austin that he became. And you could say that for a lot of things, and a lot of people. So I would caution and I would say, give him time. Give him time. Because what we're asking is in that 3 years is to be a main event, close the show, bring everybody on their feet, get everybody crying, get everybody laughing, get everyone emotionally involved and connected. And that if everyone can do it, everyone would be a star. And we know that's not the case. So I would caution and say, while I'm going to step back from him and let him work it out. He's not ready yet. I will also say, give him time.
Callum says, who should New Japan run with, Kid or Umino? Oh, I mean, God. I think that's a no-brainer at this point. And Matt says, who has more main event credibility now, Shota or Sanada?
I mean, Sanada's been in this business for a long fucking time. That is what that is, right? And physically, it's only going to go down, but that is what it is. I think you have more upside with Shota, absolutely.
Sanada looks like absolute shit at the moment. And I know he's not 100% healthy, but he just looks like...
I got no time for that.
He just, looks like Yujiro. He's gone into Yujiro zone.
Yeah, Yujiro's kind of... He's been... For a body company, President Tanahashi better step in. I'm just saying.
Well, speaking of President stepping in, let's talk about Chris Charlton. Uh-huh. So he made some spicy comments during portions of the broadcast. And we touched on it when we did our instant reaction, but there wasn't anything there where I was like, oh, he's going to be in big trouble. Because all the stuff that he said was the same stuff that Gabe Kidd had been saying. And I could see he was sort of putting himself in the role as the partisan New Japan voice. And perhaps he was hoping that Rocky would argue back and that they'd get a bit of sort of banter going. But I was a little bit concerned as it was happening that it was going to detract from the match. But it stopped very, very quickly. It's not like it derailed the entire Gabe versus Kenny match. Like you could sense things getting a little bit awkward where Rocky was like, oh, you have no idea. And then Walker Stewart's having to step in and
put the guns down. Put the guns down.
Yeah. And that was quite interesting. But I thought it was really funny. I enjoyed it. And we got a lot of questions about this one. So the news that has come out is that Chris Charlton has been suspended from his commentary duties for 2 months. And if the word on the street is to be believed, that was at Tony Khan's behest. So the Nihilist says, how big of a wimp is Tony Khan? Matt says, do you remember when you guys advocated for listeners to email New Japan to reinstate Chris Charlton? Mac19 says, is the Chris Charlton stuff overblown? I didn't think much of it listening live. I thought he was staying is the spirit of the Omega Kid match, and I thought it was hilarious. And Daryl says, Chris is the man. Gabe and Chris were saying out loud what we were all thinking. Yes, you can open your large wallets and sign away our top guys. You can steal our concepts and our characters, but you will never have the quality and integrity and gravitas of New Japan. Nobody does it as good. Do you think that MJF versus Adam Cole is a hot angle? CM Punk versus Seth Rollins? Then I question your taste. We all remember how Kenny left the company, the bad words and bad feelings from him. There's a reason Kenny has come back multiple times. Those who know. There's a reason that we all stuck around after clap crowds and mass exoduses. There's a reason we love this company and how they treat this form of entertainment. And there's also a reason why we must defend Chris, especially since he was doing it in kayfabe. If the term money mark offends you, then cry, you babies. Ooh. The facts are that all the money in the world can't buy you taste. Which brings me to my question. What kind of idiot thought Shota was going to be the guy who the fuck is running this stupid company? Love yours. great swerve there. I didn't see that one coming. But let's have your thoughts then about Chris Charlton.
Oh boy, where do I start, dude? Where do I start? So, all right, look.
Can I just say, sorry, Dave, before you start? Right, I remember once I mentioned his name on the podcast, and I can't remember what the context was. And I was asked politely to go back and take his name out of it because, well, for reasons. It's not happening this time.
It might be impossible. Okay. Let's do this. So back many, 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 many moons ago, I had a conversation with Chris right before he started this current gig he has with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And just before I go, let me just say that he has been suspended on air duties, but he still, you know, works. It's not like it's a stay home kind of thing. Don't come to the office kind of thing. So
yeah, but the medium.com thing's not going to run itself.
That's right. That's exactly right. I had a conversation with him about this position, this role, and he was nervous, and he was, for a myriad of reasons, and he just didn't know if it fit with his current situation. And I don't think I'm speaking out of turn here and sharing secrets and conversations and shit like that. And I said, you know, dude, the opportunities like this come once in a lifetime, right? And he was an education teacher, something along those lines, if I'm not mistaken. And I said, you know, that you can always go back to that. You can always go back to that. I said, this is the stuff that people, you know, work their entire lives to do. And you're getting an opportunity to be involved in it. So I was always very proud of him. And I don't want this to sound corny, but to me, no matter how deeply entrenched Chris got in with New Japan, I always considered him one of us. And what I mean by one of us is you're fan first. He's doing the gig that, again, I think the vast majority of us, if certain situations were similar, they would jump and knock over an old lady to jump. So that's that. So know that this is a guy that has loved this promotion and has found creative and fun ways to kind of foster that within himself and then parlay that into great work and being a resource and then parlaying that into, hey, why don't you come and we think we have a position that would fit perfectly. Awesome. He was working. I don't know how clear I can be. The guy was working. Now, sometimes real life gets interwoven with pro wrestling life. And sometimes things that frustrate you or piss you off or make things not 100% ideal come across in a pro wrestling environment. And you can go back and watch tons of pro wrestling and find examples of how real life scenarios help fuel the momentum of what they act like, what they say, where they go. So he went that route on the broadcast. And I know that there are people that will sit there and say, well, he's not a wrestler. And there's a big difference between Gabe Kidd and an announcer. And I got to be honest with you, I don't understand that logic at all. I really don't. If it's something that is already kind of known, right? In the sense of, I find it hard to believe that he just went off on his own and just decided to just fucking just say what he said. And I don't think that a lot of it was that bad in the sense of it was so over the top that I didn't even take it seriously. Like, it wasn't even a thought that, oh my God, he's a shooting. Like, it wasn't that. I was just so out of control that it was like, well, okay, well, this is obviously setting up something. I think Chris his heart was in the right place. And I think that it would, if it's a misstep, it's a misstep, right? And the fact that it's gotten as crazy for him as it has is pretty laughable. So here's where we get into some the juice of it. And Joel, pop in anytime you want to add. So we have it on good terms, and we have it double sourced, triple sourced. This was the fact that he, the exact quote was, he needs to be reprimanded. I mean, that's not the exact quote. What was the exact quote? Joel, help me out.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Sorry, what was the quote about?
He needs to be reprimanded. He needs to be disciplined, was it? Was that the quote?
It was, let me find it. Tony demanded he be punished.
Let that ring out. Tony demanded he be punished. You can believe it. You can say, that's foolish, that's bullshit. That's crazy. I'm telling you what we were told by three individuals. I don't know what else we can say. I don't know what else we can take it for what it's worth. We're the Super J-Cast, and we're telling you what we were told. So to me, that – you mean to tell me – hey, I know you went a little overboard there, Chris. Let's dial it back a little bit. The fact that it had to be this, and the reason it had to be this is because it came from the top. So now we have a situation. Now we have a situation, and I find it amazing that we're here. You know, Tony Khan could say very much the same things that we said about Chris. Tony Khan, pro wrestling fan. He's been to many events, the very same events I went to, from ECW Arena to New Japan Pro Wrestling in Long Beach to a lot. He's a fan of pro wrestling. And for that, we share something similar. I think that's where the similarities might end, maybe. Tony has really made a mark for himself, pardon the pun, in pro wrestling by having the financial wherewithal to be competition and be an actual viable option for pro wrestlers in the United States. Congratulations. But add this to the list of just crazy, preposterous, what the fuck is going on things in your what the fuck is going on AEW folder. When we learned that, I couldn't believe that he would just be that and not understand that he's trying to help sell a match and a relationship and what have you. And maybe he let real life frustrations and things that might have been boiling for years kind of seep through and come out there. Maybe that wasn't the time and the place for that. But again, he made a fucking mistake, and I don't think that the king from the high court came down and said he needs to be disciplined. There it is.
You touched on it there, a really interesting point about the possibility that there was real life frustration bubbling through, because I've been quite generous on the AEW relationship in recent months, and I think there is value to be extracted there, and I think maybe I've been a bit too kind towards Tony Khan, especially given his recent behaviour. While all this stuff came out, we spoke to a lot of people, and they have told us about their own individual frustrations in working with someone like that, and his, what was the phrase was used, mercurial booking style, and how that's caused a lot of headaches for people. And we've also seen public statements where you can see that starting to bubble over. So Captain Gonzo says, how does a card like Wrestle Dynasty even get booked? Broader question, Kidani said he didn't feel the event conveyed enough spirit of competition between AEW and New Japan. Since AEW in their programming all but barely remembered to mention the show was happening and did little to promote it, how in the future can they make these shows more than matches thrown on paper? So even in Kidani's comments, you could sense frustration there with the build up to this show and how, you know, they could benefit from a bit more joint up thinking. And I've said for months and months and months leading up to this that I don't think anything is malicious on Tony Khan's part. I just think it's a sloppy shop, and he's been pulled in a million different directions. And I accept it's an extremely challenging role for him, but that makes him not a particularly, not someone you can make long-term fruitful plans with, because things change at the drop of a hat. And whilst I've seen a lot of people throw flowers at him this weekend, saying that New Japan fans should all get down on their knees and worship him for generously giving all this wonderful talent to New Japan to use over the weekend, like he's fucking Father Christmas or something.
And let's talk about some of those guys who went. Okay, go ahead. Yeah,
that is not necessarily the case, particularly those bigger names that we've touched on, the Elite, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks. They have, if reports are to be believed, in their EVP contracts, the prerogative to be able to work for New Japan when they want. And again, we heard that Tony Khan didn't actually want them working at Wrestle Kingdom. He didn't want the Young Bucks to be wrestling in New Japan before, or in the middle of their AEW hiatus, and didn't want Kenny Omega's first match back to be in New Japan. So this is not the benevolent, generous Tony Khan giving lovely treats to New Japan fans, and we have to go, yummy, lap up his creamy milk. Thank you, Tony. There is autonomy there for a lot of these guys to do what they want to do, and they wanted to come and work New Japan, and Tony didn't want them to work New Japan. So whilst he has given some good stuff to New Japan, and you know, a lot of those wrestlers who did appear and Wrestle Dynasty made valuable contributions, you know, people like, I don't know, Ricochet, Brody King, stuff like that, that was good. You know, the people who went over there wrestled good matches and put over New Japan guys, that's not to be sniffed at. So I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater, because there is, you know, he does do some good stuff in New Japan, but I think we need to be careful with this narrative of, you know, what a wonderfully generous business partner that he is, because by all accounts, all the people we talk to, he's a pain in the ass to work with.
Yeah. I mean, to a person, it's pretty amazing. And I know I can see it coming from a mile away, that this, well, you do it New Japan, you're just, you know, flying the flag for them. And it's really not. Like, it's just, it is what it is. It is.
I've been saying nice things about him for months.
Yes.
For months. I've been defending this guy, but I cannot argue with people at all levels of the company expressing frustration with him publicly and privately. You cannot ignore that.
No, you cannot. So, yeah, I mean, look, I don't, my memory fails me, but I don't know if we even brought up like situations where New Japan had no fucking clue things were happening, and Tony's kind of moving puzzle pieces and pawns. Like, the example I'll give you is that, what was the situation with that title, the strong title, and they were going to merge it to that turned into their Intercontinental.
Yeah, they're making their triple crown,
exactly.
Triple crown champion.
Yeah. Guess who didn't know a fucking thing about that? Lots of people knew Japan. They didn't know. They had no idea. They found out when we did. Let's put it that way. By tuning in. Like, to me, that's just... How does that happen? How does that happen? But, again, and that was how many years ago? It's unbelievable. So, again, the public things. And, again, people love to take sides. And people love to just... This is the team I'm with, and I'm just going to blindly follow. Great. It's from Cody to Punk to, I mean, just, it's not this land of milk and honey. It's a weird, weird thing. And the relationship, while there are plenty of positives and plenty of positives that can come of this, you got to understand that the frustration of where we are. Look, again, if we're just covering one fucking topic, I know we're getting a little broad here. The Chris situation, should he have gotten a talking to? Yes, if, and apparently it is the case, you know, he went a little too far. He went too far. And probably used language that, you know, people, he went too far. Maybe he went too far. He went too far. And here's the thing. It doesn't even fucking, who cares if I think it went too far? Somebody thinks it went too far. Okay, great. But suspended. Come on. What are we doing? The fuck are we doing? So, yeah, it was a crazy week. Crazy week. And here's the thing. I appreciate a lot of people reaching out to us and kind of giving us the deets and the details. But, yeah, I don't know. I got to be honest with you. As much as I know that people think that he fucked up, and again, I feel bad for the dude. I do feel bad for the dude. And you could see them. One, when Rocky came out. A vice president of talent relations at AEW, Rocky Romero, came out. And also pretty important at New Japan, let's be very clear, came out. You could hear Walker and Chris kind of like, oh, like the principal just walked into the room, right? You know? And then even at the end, you could kind of hear them doubling back a little bit and Chris doubling back a little bit, so... I feel sorry for the dude, but what are you going to do?
But I mean, even with all that being said, I still think the relationship is working out as a net positive for New Japan. And taking the Elite as an interesting element to that, an example of where I think New Japan can find value in the relationship. You mentioned it before that there are guys that New Japan will roll out the red carpet for and they get treated well. And it is them who is making the decision to come and wrestle for New Japan. They're not being sent there, right? They're not hostages. They're thinking, actually, you know what? I miss New Japan. I miss working in front of those crowds. I miss flying over there. We get treated well, get to work with young, hungry, up-and-coming talent. I get my own creative control. We can lay out the matches the way we want. Don't have to worry about any backstage bullshit. We can just enjoy our wrestling. I think New Japan positioning themselves as the company who can be that creative fulfillment outlet for big stars who are frustrated with the way things work in AEW and US television wrestling at large. There is a lot of positives that they can gain from that. And John said it in the chat. It was so funny how much better the Bucks looked in the Dome than they have in AEW for like 6 months. They look like different people. I watched them wrestling in Wembley Stadium, just sleepwalking their way through a match. They looked like they didn't want to be there. But for Wrestle Dynasty, they were in great shape. They dropped all the horseshit. They were out there firing off, chatting shit, doing all their flashy moves, high intensity, high work rate. They just looked invigorated and they looked like they're having the time of their lives out there. And I think that's a real boon for New Japan because, you know, people might roll their eyes, oh God, we're putting the titles on the Young Bucks. they want to be there. And I, all the doubts that I have were silenced when I watched them wrestling in that match. And I thought, wow, they really want to be here. And they are putting in way more effort for a New Japan match than I've seen them do in AEW for years. And they've got another match, but they're flying back to Japan, if I'm not mistaken. Let me just check that I'm not misremembering this. Yeah, they're wrestling in the New Beginning on Osaka against Hiromu and Naito. So I think there's, again, if New Japan can really lean into that and be like, look, if you're getting fed up with the way things are going in AEW, come out here, come and work a tour with us.
Right.
Come and work a couple of big shows with us. Come and help this next generation of young talent get over. Like, you could be the guy, you could be the dance partner to help make these guys into stars, and you could do it whatever way you want, and we'll fly you and all your family over first class, we'll treat you like kings. And that is where I think New Japan can get a lot of good things from this relationship without it just coming down to, oh, AEW are paying more money, so AEW get all the talent.
Right.
And I think if New Japan continue to be very smart about this, you know, not just the elite, but there's other guys that I think who you can see they're getting frustrated in AEW, they might just be tempted. And even if it's not to, you know, sign a full-time contract, but just to sort of come over, work a big show or two, and that could be crucial for helping get that generation of guys over. You know, your guys like Shota, Yota Tsuji, Yuya Uemura, Yohei Oiwa, Gabe Kidd, all of those guys, just working an extended program, or a couple of big matches with some of these frustrated guys from AEW could make all the difference.
It's amazing when you have the money. It's amazing what your priorities become when you have the money. I'll never fault a wrestler to say, hey, you know what? You want to give me three times what I'm making now to do the same thing? Where do I sign? I won't ever blame a wrestler. It's disappointing. It's, you know, it is what it is, but I'll never blame the wrestler. But what happens when you have the money? And what happens when you find out that, wow, okay, I have the money, but there's something missing? Or not something missing. There's stuff I want to take away. You know, I want this off of my shoulders. The bullshit that's associated with pro wrestling. You know what I want to do? I'm going to go in the fucking ring. I want to have great matches. I want to have fun with my friends, right? In the ring. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do.
Do you think how many AEW guys would have been watching Kenny and the Bucks and all the other guys that appeared on that show thinking,
oh, can I have that?
That looks like fun. I want it.
Can I have that? You don't think? I guarantee that there are plenty of people that are. You have a second, Tone? Can I get that same deal that they have? Can I get that? Because I want that. I would like that. I would like that. And it's weird. Like, they are in high-powered positions, apparently, in AEW. And it's all the other bullshit that goes on that says, hey, you know what? This is a nice little break. This is a nice little break from all the bullshit that we have to put up with. So,
and not just that, Damon. There's a comment from John Carroll, says, even in the post-match, if you didn't see it backstage, Matt looked like he was legit about to cry. He was so moved.
Love
I was
it.
Surprised. So they're not just coming in for a payday or for a bit of fun. They miss it. And they like working for New Japan, despite how acrimoniously things ended in 2019. They want to be there.
And here's the thing. That management is not there. You know what I mean? The people, the Harolds of the world that they had, you know, they were button heads with, and none of them are there. So yeah, it's an amazing thing. You know, the older you get, and the please don't take this wrong way. Money's very important. Like, money allows you to do things that you might not have had the opportunity to do before, and it makes your life easier. I don't care what the fuck what anybody says. That said, again, when you have it, then what? Then what? And the idea of them coming over and their families are there and they get to have, you know, they get to see people that they probably haven't seen in a while, and, you know, just the buildings and just, you know, I'm sure there was a lot of good feeling and good vibes. And the fact that they're there and they're like, we don't have to worry about all the nonsense. All the nonsense is beautiful. So, look, they have, let's be clear. They have the opportunity, and I don't think there's any way that we're going to be like, 2-year deal, Bucks. 2-year deal, Kenny. I don't think that's in the cards. But the idea of, hey, you know what? I have the freedom to do as I see fit and work shows and go there. It's got to feel good. It's got to feel pretty good. Because at the end of the day, I think every pro wrestler that's even remotely has a name for themselves to have that opportunity, I think there's a time frame when they feel, all right, this is where we got to cash in. We're going to make the most fucking money we can to take care of our families. And then if we can hold off, we can have that ideal scenario. The money isn't the ideal scenario. It's that. It's the money plus the idea of happy, stress-free. That kind of, there's normal pro wrestling stresses, of course, but you know what I'm saying. And again, you go through that company's history. Boy, oh boy. And again, it's not just the Young Bucks. You know what I mean? It's not just whomever. You know. And I'm not saying the Young Bucks are sitting there yelling and there's a bad relationship or anything going on. Don't get me wrong. I just think that they were very happy with the way things turned out. And the idea that they have that freedom is pretty nice. So we'll leave it at that.
And another enormous dub for New Japan along that lines is the signing of Konosuke Takeshita, who was announced to now have a triple contract. So he's working AW and DDT and New Japan Pro Wrestling. So from what we've heard, that's not a gimmick. He is actually signed. Now, we don't know exactly how many dates that is, but I can't help but feel that this is the continued soft jump of Takeshita to New Japan Pro Wrestling, because obviously, as we said many, many times, New Japan can't compete with the money that AEW offer, but you said it. I mean, it's been said by, I think it was Kidani who said it, in so many words, if Takeshita wants it, that run as the ace of New Japan is there. It is there on a silver platter for him. He can step into that role and basically be the next Okada. And I think, I've said before on this podcast, that solves so many issues for New Japan, where you can plug in a guy like him to be the top guy until all your other guys are ready, and also work with those guys to help them get ready. I mean, you think of the number of people he's worked with, New Japan guys he's worked with, where he's given them their best match. Just off the top of my head, Yuta Uemura, fantastic. That match they had in the G1, incredible. Yeah. And El Fantasmo, the match at Korakuen Hall, fantastic. So, if this is what I think it is, this is so exciting for New Japan Pro Wrestling to get one of the very best wrestlers in the world, the guy who has that aura, that star presence, and who can turn it on and deliver those match of the year quality. And he's still relatively young, isn't he? I mean, how old is he? What is he?
I'm going to look it up now. Like early 30s at the most, right?
He is
406.
29.
He's not even 30. God damn it.
29.
Come on.
So he's got time on his side. Like, think of all the exciting things that New Japan could do with him. So, yeah, talk to me about Konosuke Takeshita. Like, what are your expectations with this deal that he signed?
We talk about the box. What a deal this guy signs, right? You know who, when I saw that, again, I'm thrilled, New Japan, no doubt. I mean, you know, that's what we all wanted. That's what we were pining for. And the more that we see him and the more that he's involved, and yes, all the points that you had mentioned. But also, DDT, oh my God, imagine the party in that office, right? Because he could have easily walked away and been like, well, you know what, I'm not really going to have time, sorry, you know. But the fact that, and even if it's one day a year, the fact that in the language, in that agreement, they're mentioned all the time. So again, when he does make that appearance and he can ride the coattails a little bit of the eyeballs that are on a New Japan product as opposed to a DDT product, DDT's got to be pretty happy with that too, right? I think that's a win all the way around. That is a win all the way around. Would I have loved to have just locked him down and said, okay, you're all mine. This is my toy. You can't play. Of course, if we're being selfish. But honestly, I love it. And as weird as it sounds, I'd like to see more people doing that. I'd like to see more of that. I think because once again, as a wise man once said, a high tide raises all ships. So I think that's a good thing. I'm a huge fan of that. And I mean, they've already trusted him with titles and positioning him to be a focal point in the promo. Yeah, great shit, man.
Well, how long do you wait until you belt him up, put the big boy belt on him?
I mean, okay, let's throw it out there. If we're being fantasy booking jerk-offs, how does that sexy G1 final or New Japan Cup final sound with him and Gabe Kidd? Come on. Come on! Let's go. That's what I'm talking about. Beautiful.
Let's move on to talk about New Year Dash. Louis says, I was a bit underwhelmed with New Year's Dash. Should we be worried yet, or is it too soon to tell? I don't think it's anything to be worried about, but it was just a nothing show. Like, I watched it. I don't know if you watched it, Dave, but I'm looking through the results here. Really, very little of interest happened. It was just road to the new beginning, yeah. Basically. Well, the one thing that made me chuckle was the special exhibition match, the five-minute draw between Oleg Bolton and Josh Barnett, and Josh made sure that when the time limit expired, he was like just about to lock on a rear naked choke. Right. Like, he was in a dominant position when the time limit expired. Right. Like, I love Josh Barnett. He takes himself so seriously, and that is good. Like, more people should be like that in pro wrestling. So that was extremely funny. But the rest of the card was just setting up stuff for New Beginning. We'll talk about New Beginning in a minute, but I mean, New Year Dash, that was skippable show for me, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know, I think the idea of this being this wacky, off the cuff kind of surprises galore kind of show is kind of faded away a bit. I mean, we really haven't had that crazy, you know, Kenny becoming leader of the Bucks, or I think the last, I'm trying to think of the one I went to, and it was like, I think the big thing was
Jericho. That was the Jay White thing, wasn't it?
That was one of them. That was one of them.
That was when you and yes. I were there, when we were sitting together. It was when we saw he ended the night standing dominantly, and I said
that's
to you,
guy.
He's winning the title.
Yep, he did. That is absolutely correct. And then there was one other time. It was like Juice beat Goto, and that was like a big thing in a tag situation. And I remember the Jericho thing where I think, did he attack Naito that night? Something like that.
Yeah, I think so.
And him almost getting in a fight with some American fan. Oh, you Americans, you can't behave. Yeah, I do remember that. So yeah,
but I did see some wacky theories that Tony Khan pulled all the AEW wrestlers from working New Year Dash, but that was I asked around about that, but people said no, they were already on the plane anyway. Yeah. They were never scheduled to appear at Dash.
Right. Yeah, it was, I mean, again, I think the idea of that show being this crazy kind of fire pro wrestling, random shit, fun, angle filled, I think it's, at least in recent times, it's kind of like, do I want to stay up three consecutive nights? I don't know. I don't think I'm going to pass on that one. And that's what I did. I passed.
So we have lots of matches announced for New Beginning Tour and New Beginning event itself. So these are the things that have been announced so far. So we're starting at Korakuen Hall on Wednesday, the 22nd of January, where Tanahashi's retirement tour starting with matches that all have a theme. So Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Connection, he will be wrestling Shoma Kato. And then the following night at Korakuen, he'll be wrestling Katsuya Murashima. And there will also be a special singles match between Yoshihashi and Ryohei Oiwa, who had a big brawl at New Year Dash that could not be ended, could not be separated, and they're still brawling now. from right here. Then in Miyagi, in the Sendai Sun Plaza Hall on Thursday, January 30th, we've got the Never Openweight Six-Man Tag Team Championship match where we've got the champions, Oleg Valtin, Toriano Hiroshi Tanahashi, defending once again against House of Torture, Sho, Yujiro, and Ren Narita. You won't believe this, Damon, but Sho, I believe, stole the six-man titles.
Wow. That's
it's a red hot feud going in there. So then back at Korakuen Hall on Monday, February the 3rd, we've got Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Connection where he is wrestling Daiki Nagai. And Daiki Nagai is my guy. So I'm interested to see what that one looks like. And then fast forwarding to February the 11th for the New Beginning in Osaka. So there's no New Beginning in Sapporo this year because I believe it's the venue there is being refurbished. So we're only getting one New Beginning show, and that is in the Edion Arena, Osaka. So these are the matches that are announced so far, and the order is to be announced. But we've got Hiroshi Tanahashi Final Road Kinship, where he will be wrestling Togi Makabe. We've got a special singles match between Shingo Takagi and Driller Maloney. So during New Year Dash, Driller, I believe, announced that he is now a heavyweight. So we got his heavyweight match here with Shingo Takagi.
Shocking, special shocking, singles by match the way.
I know. He's just such an alive, high flying skinny guy. Yeah. He's going to have to eat a few bowls of pasta to make that
carb up.
Incredible. Special singles match Shota Umino against Great Okan. Special singles match Taichi against Sanada. IWGP Junior Tag Championship match Rocky Romero and Yo against Kosei Fujita and Robbie Eagles. IWGP Tag Team Championship match Hiromu and Naito challenging the Young Bucks. IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship match, Yota Tsuji defending against Gabe Kidd. And IWGP World Heavyweight Championship match, Zack Sabre Jr. defending against Hiroki Goto.
Let's go.
So, Lost in Ube says, is Tanahashi sending a message to the locker room with his connections matches against Young Lions? And how awesome will it be when Daiki Nagai slaps his boss? I don't think it's a message per se. I just think he's going to work his way through wrestling the entire New Japan roster and probably some backstage view. Maybe Chris Charlton will get a match.
There you go.
Mikey CC says, is it crazy to say New Beginning in Osaka has a better card than Wrestle Kingdom? I'm not sure if I would go that far, but I do think this card is benefiting from there being no Sapporo show, and it does look very strong. Now, admittedly, there's a few singles matches involving people that I'm kind of tuned out on at the moment. Like, I've seen Driller wrestle a few singles matches, and I know in the past I've said I think there's a lot of upside there, but it's wait and see for me for Driller. Shota Umino, yeah, I think absence makes the heart grow fonder there, and I've got no interest in a Sanada singles match at this point in my life. But even if you put those aside, we've got a tasty looking pair of tag championship matches, Tsuji against Gabe Kidd, Goto versus Zach. So it's a very, very strong card. And still, you know, there may be more matches announced for that. Nick says, will the G in IWGP World Heavyweight Champion finally stand for Goto? So, yeah, Damon, what do you think of this New Beginning in Osaka card?
Love it. I think the show is pretty stacked, actually. Really nice. I know people are kind of hand waving Goto a little bit in the sense of, well, again, his 364 chances of the charm. But I think the match is going to be really fucking good. I really do. He's proven that he still has plenty left in the tank. So this might be the like the Yuji Nagata last ride kind of thing, you know, when he challenged Nakamura. It might be a similar situation. We might see similar vignettes, video packages with Goto and his kids again, his family, wholesome as it is.
Do you not think this is the perfect time?
No, they can't.
To do it.
No.
To build him up, to have him as the transitional champion, and then you could use it like the zero successful defenses, like he immediately loses the title to like David Finlay.
You could. Don't get me wrong. You could. I don't think that's a good idea. I don't think it's.
Because I'm going to say this as well, right? I, as much as I love Zack Sabre Jr., and I'm not saying this as a result of the match with Shota, but has his title run, and I know it's been a short one, has it run its course, right? He's not a proven draw. There's no, not really any big people left to challenge him. He's won the G1. He's won the title. He's successfully defending it at Wrestle Kingdom main event. So he's achieved everything there is to achieve. Right. And do you not think it might be just give everything a shot in the arm for Goto to get the shock win and become the new champion?
I'll tell you what I like. I like the idea of the person who beats Hirooki Goto and wins the title to kind of get that, okay, I beat, dare I say, a legend in New Japan Pro Wrestling to win the title, as opposed to I beat Zach. And I'm not shitting on Zach. Don't get me wrong. He's my favorite. But
beating Goto has more heat, doesn't it?
I mean, I think there's something there. I'm not going to lie. I think there's something there. I'm not a big, you can hot potato, and it's not a hot potato, but you can hot potato any belt in that company, and it wouldn't bother me as much as the heavyweight title. I do like stability there. That being said, it's not a terrible idea. It's a pretty good idea, actually. More that it's going around this cavernous skull of mine. Very small brain. I'm going to say no, but I don't hate it. Let's put it that way. I don't hate it. A lot of positives.
Let's look at the card for Battle in the Valley, which is going to be taking place this weekend, January the 11th, the Saturday, in the San Jose Civic Center. I know that was crept off of me. I sort of flew under the radar a bit. We've got a strong survivor match, Zane J.
Yay!
Against Viento.
Let's go.
We've got Matt Vandergriff teaming up with Fred Rosser to take on Bad Dude Tito and Shane Haste. We've got an elimination match with Viva Van, Hanako, Micah, and Mina Shirakawa against Johnny Robbie, Trisha Dora, Anna Jay, and Azumi. Special singles match between Zach and Hechicero. Now, as I'm reading this out on the Medium website, they must have done the card order by now. Right, I'm going to go to another link. Fucking
hey, listen, Chris is a little down in the dumps right now. Can you give him a break?
Okay, all right, I apologize. I'll take it back. Yep. Right, so I'm going to go with this other link here. And we've got IWGP Junior Heavyweight Championship, El Desperado versus Taiji Ishimori. We have Never Openweight Championship, Konosuke Takeshita versus Kushida. We've got the NJPW World TV Championship, El Phantasmo versus Jeff Cobb. New Japan Strong Openweight Championship, Gabe Kidd versus Tomohiro Ishii. Strong Openweight Tag Team Championships, West Coast Wrecking Crew versus Rocky Romero and Yo.
A lot of title shots for that Rocky Romero. Tell you.
Yeah.
just finding ways.
No, I'm surprised he's good.
Worthy tag team to get all these title shots. Yeah. Real worthy. Just, you know, it's amazing how that works out. Okay. Good. Good. Big Dust. Go ahead.
Double champion Rocky Romero.
It's just saying.
Phoning people up and telling them that they're suspended whilst he's clinking his championship belts in the background.
There you go. Nice.
We've got a Sumi Sakai retirement match. Sumi Sakai, Evil and Sho versus Hiromu Takahashi, Mayu Iwatani, and Yuka Sakazaki. And yeah, the other matches that I said. Zack Sabre versus Hechicero, which it says special singles match.
No title?
It seems not.
Oh, wait. Rocky Romero and Yo can get a fucking title match. What's going on here? Something doesn't seem right. Preposterous. Oh, if I could just,
pretty good card though.
If I could just be an EP, EVP. Yeah, it's not bad. It's all right. It's pretty good. It seemed like you were rattling off. How many matches are on this show? 200.
Yes, that's a lot of matches.
This is gonna be a 4-hour show again. Oh, I don't think my body can handle it. Thank God it's well. Is it a Friday too? What day is it?
Saturday.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, just kind of planning out my weekend. All right. That's not a bad show. Not a bad show.
Are you predicting any title changes there?
I mean,
I'll read the match. You tell me if you think there'll be a title change.
Yes.
West Coast Wrecking Crew against Rocky Romero. And
yes, absolutely. Come on. Let's go. Let's go, EVP. Get that gold.
Gabe Kidd against Ishii.
No. Gabe Kidd against
EOP versus Jeff Cobb.
What title is that?
Excuse me, sir. Gabe Kidd is the proud holder of a strong openweight championship. I think he just forgot to bring it during You're his right, match against Kenny Omega.
Oh, my God. Oh, Lord, that prestigious strong title. You know,
he's walking out, doing his big entrance. The crowd are cheering him. He pulls down his trousers, reveals the line mark on his shorts. Then he's like, oh, fuck, I forgot the fucking strong openweight championship.
Yeah.
He's running backstage, running up the ramp, bringing his belt out.
That was one of those things where it's in his hotel room in Tokyo Dome Hotel, and he's like, oh, I forgot my title. And he kind of looks back on the bed, and he's like, ah, fuck that. I'm going. Shut the door.
That happened during the, I think it was the 2018 G1, and I think Kenny was in a G1 match. I forget who it is against, but like just before the match, the camera zoomed in on him as he's like, you know, bouncing up and down in the corner. And he looks straight at the camera. He goes, so he was the US champion at that time. And he looks straight at the camera and goes, I forgot the belt. Jesus Christ. I'm going to be in big trouble.
pro wrestling. Huh? Gotta love it. Yeah, I'll give you a solid. I don't give a shit. And I'll give you a solid. No, I don't think there will be a title change.
All right, ELP and Jeff Cobb, the TV title.
Hmm.
I'm saying no. I think Jeff Cobb. I don't know if this is just one of those contract season things that he does every year, but I think there's a non-zero chance that he leaves.
Oh yeah, yeah. Where is he going to go? Watch him. the pointy picture with good old Paul, Uncle Paul, pointing at each other.
Yeah. I honestly think that might be on the cards.
You think, yeah. Okay. To me, and we've heard no indications otherwise, but I just, you know, as long as he's healthy, yeah, I don't think there's going to be a title change. I think ELP keeps him.
Takeshita and Kushida, the never open wage championship. Imagine that, signing Konosuke Takeshita, then he gets pinned, tapped out by junior heavyweight Kushida, who actually, he submitted Kenta, didn't he?
Which he sure did.
A lot of people think is Kenta's goodbye match. He's off to work pro wrestling now, but yeah, cannot see Kushida becoming never open wage champion.
Yeah, I would say there is a 0.01% chance. Can we talk about Kushida's tag team partner?
Yeah. Kevin Knight.
That's him. He might not.
If you like Kevin Knight, where is he? He's not on this card, is he? Has he booked anything for the New Beginning tour? No, he's not booking anything like that.
Tugging the collar, as they do on a flagship. Yeah. Looks like that's bound to happen. Let's put it that way.
And how about Despy versus Ishimori?
No, I don't think anything changes hands on these shows. I don't think so. I doubt any of those titles that you mentioned anyway. But
we have a good question here about Ishimori. So the novelist says, Kenny Omega is my goat. Sorry, here's my question. Ishimori, in my opinion, could move out of the junior division, but I feel he's cursed to stay there forever. Do you think he'll ever get a shot at the Never picture or anything? I always thought Kushida could have moved up too. Can you imagine Taiji Ishimori wrestling against heavyweight wrestlers? That would look preposterous. Yeah, I know he's a very muscular guy, and you know I'm all for stretching kayfabe like that, but I think he's about like 5 foot tall. It would look very, very silly.
Yeah, it's not the optics. You know, again, it depends on which side of the fence you want to be on. Like, if you want to be like, okay, North American style pro wrestling where weights really don't necessarily matter, and you know, guys wrestle each other, or if you want to have that hard line of junior and heavy, like, it just, you know, again, you can't, unless he grows taller, it's going to be a hard sell, that's for sure. But now, that being said, there are times when, you know, guys will dabble in and out, you know, Show being an example, you know, kind of challenging for that Never So I'm not going to say he can't challenge and he won't challenge, but like if the expectation is a, you know, junior graduating to a heavy a la Trent Beretta, a la Drillo Maloney, a la, you know, Kenny Omega, I wouldn't be holding my breath.
Okay, well, that's Battle in the Valley. Still a few questions before we get out of here. Aaron Mesa says, how would you book New Japan over the next year with the aim of getting 40,000 fans in the Tokyo Dome? And B France replied, I'm very tired and read this question. How would you book New Japan over the next 40,000 years? So you can answer that if you want, Damon, or the first one. Because I think, who was it that said that? Was it Tanahashi? Or someone said that they were aiming, it might have been Kidani, that they want to have 40,000 in the Tokyo Dome for the Tanahashi retirement. So
they might.
What can New Japan realistically do to get that? Or get as close to it as possible.
I think the Tanahashi thing is going to be a bigger draw than people even think. I think that alone will sell tickets, right? First and foremost. If you're going to have a stacked undercard, you would think that on Hiroshi Tanahashi's last pro wrestling night in ring, you would assume, and I don't want to because I don't want to disappoint or what have you, you would assume they're going to bring in some big guns and some names from the past, from the current, from maybe the future. Who knows? But you would think that they would have – it would be an event worthy of his final night. So, if I'm New Japan, I'm already sending out those feelers of, okay, hey, you available 2026? January, because I think one, it'll be special. Number one, two, I don't know, man. I think they got a good shot. What do you have any idea what the Muda retirement did? It did it pretty well, didn't it? They had a good number there, didn't they? Was it like
let me look it up.
Was it like 30 something? I could have sworn. Maybe I'm wrong. But I could have sworn it was a decent number.
30,000.
Okay. So we'll just need 10 more, huh? Okay. I think that's a destination Wrestle Kingdom. I think there are a lot of people that are like, okay, as much as I love Chushin Liger, and again, the minute it was announced, I was like, well, that's a no fucking brainer. I will be there. I think there's a lot of people that you could say the same thing when it comes to Hiroshi Tanahashi. You know, when it comes to New Japan Pro Wrestling, a lot of people are like, okay, that's my guy. That's my guy. So I wouldn't be surprised if people are already starting to save some pennies, you know, putting it away for the idea of going. So I think it'll be a highly traveled Wrestle Kingdom. And I will say this, they have a shot. They absolutely have a shot.
Daryl says, I think David Finlay had two very good matches this past weekend. Where do we see him going this year? What will the War Dogs look like? I love their faction, truthfully, and I think that if they keep them small, five or so members, they can be useful for a while yet, except Sanada.
I hate to say this. I think if there's anyone I'm worried about, the next poaching, I worry about David Finlay.
I think he's going to come out and attack the winner of the main event in Osaka.
Okay. I mean, I'm with you. I'm with you. He's the one guy that I worry about. And not to say that there's any pastrami being fucking hung here. But like, he's one guy that I think like it might be a problem later down the road. So we'll see. I know there was wasn't there a time where it was like, well, his dad was kind of pulling strings to see if he can get in NXT or some shit. Yeah, I think it's stuck.
I just don't think I don't. He's not got the look for WWE.
It's the promise, man.
And I don't think he's got the work rate or the casual fan.
Oh, I think he does.
Acceptance for AEW.
Look, WWE is a creation vehicle. You know, they'll find something to. I mean, and it might work and it might not. Don't get me wrong; they've had plenty of misses. Like, I don't know, a little repackaging ain't going to hurt. So I think he's got the talent to do it. So that's someone I worry about.
Last question. Combs the Third says, do you think Sanada has become too sexy?
No. No. I think actually right now he's that aura of sexiness. And listen, I'm certainly not an expert when it comes to that, but I would defer to people who find the male persuasion particularly fond of. I don't know. I think he's lost a step, actually. You told me that, if you asked me this a couple of years ago, yeah, of course. Fucking high fashion, good looking dude who intentionally makes himself ugly. Like, imagine being that good looking that you're intentionally just fucking up your style because you can. You know what I mean? Oh, what a jerk. Oh, Sonata. You know, all this hatred of Sonata is just jealousy on my part. I got to be honest. It's just jealousy. Just for 10 minutes. Can I have that? Can I have that, please? No.
What would you do? What would you do for that 10 minutes?
If I were Sonata, oh, I would just walk out naked in the middle of the street and be like, all right, come and get it.
Point with a finger pointing to your ear.
Yep. Yep. Come and get it. Soup's on. I'd have one of those little triangles, you know. Dinner's ready. Yep, that'd be me. Fucking everybody in the middle of the street. All right, that's preposterous. All right, just like this show.
Look, if you're listening to this and you're not on the Patreon yet, if you're on the $5 tier and part of the deli, you would have known about so many of these stories before anyone else. You would have known about the Chris Charlton thing before anyone else. You would have known about Tony Khan being the person that punished him before anyone else. You would have known about Takeshita.
Before Dave. Before Dave.
Else. Yep. Oh, yes.
Thank you very much. And by the way, can I also mention Dave is a little off. While the buck may stop with Kidani, Kidani didn't fire off that. Yeah, I'm just saying. So, okay, we'll leave it at that. But yes, before Dave, before anybody else. That's it. And I think this weekend alone, the value was, I mean.
I'm undercharging.
You are.
Like, we should be.
Yes. That's what I'm trying to get at. Raise the rates. Jesus Christ. No, in all seriousness, we do appreciate those that have. But look, if this little podcast is any indication, it's worth it. $10. Hey, listen, I'm not saying February is going to be chock full of all the goodies, but January, I think we could take the rest of the month off, to be quite frank. Yes. And you got your money's worth. All right. How do you like that?
Well, $10 tier, you get all the extra bonus audio content. You get to listen to this podcast being streamed live. You can join in the chat. And you also get access to the Wrestle Kingdom instant reaction show we did, the Wrestle Dynasty instant reaction show we did, and any other instant reaction shows that we may choose to do in the future, and any bonus audio that I do, because I've got a long list of interesting guests that I'm hoping to talk to about New Japan and a range of topics.
Tony Schiavone.
Coming up in the future. Tony Schiavone, yeah, and his
grooming habit.
Why he doesn't use deodorant. So get your money out. And sign up to the Patreon and fuck off.
Hello, everyone. My name is Taylor.
And I'm Kelly.
And we are the co-hosts of Jumping Bomb Audio, the number one show all about the world of Joshi Pro Wrestling. Episodes drop every other Monday, where we discuss the biggest Joshi news, review shows, and preview the hottest upcoming Joshi action.
So whether you're a new fan or an old fan, we've got something here for you at Jumping Bomb Audio.
Check us out on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yep.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.